This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank from Chandler's Cross, England at the Grove Hotel. The Jaguars are in the United Kingdom for the week. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, plenty of guests coming up. Head coach Gus Bradley, Brian Sexton will join us as well. Jaguars this week, of course, the Jags are in London. The routine is still the same, or is it? We'll hear from head coach Gus Bradley about the week in the United Kingdom, and we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys coming up as well. There is a football game this week, too. You can get it on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. And we welcome in our first guest, John. Head coach Gus Bradley is here. This is pretty darn cool at the Grove, isn't it?
It is. What a great setup. I mean, everything is laid out for us. I know we had a couple guys come over and set up all our video equipment, the practice fields, the locker room. Really a neat setup.
And does it feel more comfortable? I know traveling over, JP and I were talking, it's just a little bit of a different feel because we know what to expect. I assume the same for you, the staff, the players.
It is, definitely for our staff. You know, we do have a lot of new players, so it's their first time, but I really like the idea of how we came over after the game Sunday. I think the players got a chance to, you know, get that jet lag out of them. We had a good practice today. I think you try to develop a routine, like you said, JP, and that's what we're trying to do, and I think this is working.
You gave the guys a couple of days off here in London. You had the walkthrough the other day, just very brief, and then a couple of nights to go get London out of the way. Now you can focus on football.
Right? It really was. They still had their treatment, and they came in and watched film, but I think it was the idea that if they wanted to go into the city and experience it, they had that opportunity. We do believe. I mean, it's a great experience, one that we want our players to experience. But, I think that if you do that Monday and Tuesday, they're not thinking about, you know, going in there on Friday, on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's just, you know, I think it helps our focus and our mindset getting prepared.
And you told us before we came on, you're not a guy who really goes out, even in London, to really see what's going on around it. But you do like seeing the guys really start to experience things.
Well, I do. I think because it's camaraderie. You know, you see a group of five or six guys go together and grab something to eat and talk. And sometimes it's, you know, it's good to talk on other things than football. You know, they're learning more about each other. And I think it brings the team closer.
Gus Bradley is with us. Did that help last year's team? Because after this game and after the bye last year, week 9 was the bye, week 8 was the game, it got hot, won 3 out of 4. Did that have something to do with
it? Well, it doesn't hurt. You know, I think anytime the players, you know, get a sense for one another and they talk about maybe, you know, during the conversation, what else can we do? You know, conversations like that may take place. But I think it's just an overall feel. I think our team really does trust one another. I think they've grown to, you know, it's not a team that you see clicks either. You'll see five guys here and the next night, you know, there's, you know, a whole different group with that person. So I think we really have grown as a family and, you know, hopefully we can use that to our advantage.
So we're not going to see it all on a double-decker bus somewhere in the streets of London this week?
That's not the plan right now. Nothing against London, you know. But, you know what? I think we've got enough things to do as a coaching staff for our preparation.
You'll see JP there.
I've been there already. Don't worry. Gus, let's talk football now. Of course, there is a game this week, and you're on the practice field today for the first time. It's good to get back to that routine, to get back to the game schedule. So let's start with the quarterback. There were some questions about the wrist and all that. He said he's fine. What's the latest with Blake, and what do you expect from him?
Yeah, you know what? I think there's probably a little bit of soreness there, but overall he feels good, went through the entire practice, and had no, you know, bad effects from it. So, I think it appears to be going in the right direction.
What are you seeing at him right now, Coach? I asked you in the press conference today, or somebody did, about his confidence level. And he's played about 2 months. What are you seeing? What do you like about the way he's still approaching?
Well, I do like his confidence level, and I think it's not, there's no false, you know, it's real. Mm-hmm. And, he has the toughness, he can take hits, he can go for the extra yards, the team feels that part of him. Mentally, he's tough, he's gone through some things where he's growing, and I think all those opportunities, he's really grown from it. He played better last week than times in previous weeks. I think that he's really strong-minded, and it's real, and I think the team feels that.
Is it something that you watch when you pass him in the hallway, when you're in meeting? I mean, quarterback's an important position, and you want him to develop. Have you kept a close eye on that part?
Yeah, I think, you know, just my conversation with him as well as other coaches have been, you know, we're going to go on this journey with you. And you know, there might be things that come up. And I think it's really important that he knows, I know for me in my position where I'm coming from. What can he count on from me? And, you know, and it goes the other way, too. What can we count on from you? So we're learning that part of it. And I just think that it's we have a good start, a good foundation. And, you know, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think a lot of areas we can all improve on. But I'm very confident with him that, you know, we'll see that improvement.
Gus, let's talk receivers, you know, decisions for Bortles. There was the one in the end zone that was intercepted, but there were a couple other balls that the receivers bailed him out on. Alan Hearns had a huge day, went up and got some balls, and they're kind of coming along together. Young receivers, young quarterback. Sometimes that's going to have to happen. A young receiver has to help out a quarterback.
Sure, that happens all the time in the NFL. There's receivers that will bail out a quarterback. So I think that's what our receivers, what I loved about it was Alan Hearns went and competed, you know, through the play. Hey, it might be a difficult situation, but I'm going for the ball. I can make this play. And he went and did it. So I think there's going to be times like that in the NFL in a game that players, you know, receivers have to help out. We talk in terms of the receiver needs to make him a hero. And, you know, the tight end, make him a hero. If it's a poorly thrown ball, go and make the catch. And, you know, those things happen in games.
You've talked several times in press conferences about sort of making the decision when you went so young on offense, that we're committing to this, and it sort of implied there's going to be some tough times with an offense that young. Sort of what went into that, and how are you seeing that group go together right
well,
now?
Well, I think that we felt like they're a talented group of guys that we wanted to get on the field. I think a classic example is a guy like Luke Boenkel, mm-hmm. you know, that was a draft pick later rounds, but we liked his skill set, we liked his athleticism, and we brought him in there, and, you know, we started him once he was healthy. And there were some things where he had to learn, but, boy, he really started to play really well. And, you know, that's what our hopes, the athleticism, his strength is showing up now, his confidence level. And there's a couple games where you got to go through, you know, to see that learning curve. But overall, and the end result is if you can get a guy that you know can be your center for a while, that's a good thing.
Gus Bradley with us. We'll have some social questions coming up, so get ready for the questions.
All right.
Social guy.
But we'll finish with some football stuff here. I mean, offensive line now. They had started to finally get some cohesion, it felt like, up front. The run game's going a little better, and all of a sudden Linder's nicked up a little bit. What's the status on him, and does that hurt the cohesion up front?
It's like any of our positions. We've had some injuries, and the next guy's got to step up and play. So I know he was running on the side of the practice field today. So, you know, we'll just stay updated on how he's doing. But a guy like Jack McClendon has played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. And he stepped in and did a nice job last week. So if we shouldn't have Brandon Linder, then Jack will get his opportunity. A guy like Tyler Shatley might be up then, you know, and get his first opportunity as well. So, you know, fortunately, we've got guys that can step in and keep this thing going.
And a couple receiver issues. I know we had the soreness, tightness up with Cecil Shorts. Hamstring, and Marquise Lee today as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, both of them, we'll see how it goes. You know, I know with Cecil, it's just, you know, he knows his body mm-hmm. so well. And I think that it got to that point where it was time you know, he'll get treatment, and we'll see how he is tomorrow. And with Marquise, too, I think if anything, it scared him more than anything. And, you know, I think he's getting treatment. I know his spirits are pretty good right now.
But you're tired of the nests. Soreness, tightness, you don't like that anymore.
No, you know, we hear that term so many times. But you know what? Our practices are challenging. And, you know, we're still in pads. We went out there and practiced in pads today. And it's competition Wednesday. And there's a reason for that. We compete at this practice, and we're challenging one another. And, you know, it's a way for us to continue to progress.
Gus, let's talk about these Dallas Cowboys that you'll face at Wembley on Sunday. There was a question in the press conference today earlier from the UK, I forget who asked it, about preparing for both quarterbacks for Dallas, Romo and Whedon. But what's the difference between a Cowboys offense with Romo and a Cowboys offense with Whedon?
Well, obviously the experience Tony Romo has. And, you know, the offensive scheme, the pass concepts that you see, very similar. But just, you know, the ability to extend the play, Tony Romo does, and the accuracy that he has. And, you know, I think he's seen so many multiple looks that, you know, to confuse him, you know, is challenging. And he kind of knows where to go with the ball, you know, probably even pre-snap or where he's going to attempt to go. So, I think it's just the experience level that Tony Romo brings to the game.
You mentioned this too, and I'm curious, as a defensive-oriented coach, been in the league a while, Cowboys offensive line is starting to get some buzz as maybe one of the best units in the league and maybe one of the best up-and-coming units in a while. What do you see from them, and what's the challenge?
Well, their tackles, I think, are what stand out right away to me. They're both athletic. Generally the left tackle, if he's a first-round draft pick, that's what you assume that he is. But the right tackle is very athletic, too. And then the guards in the center, multiple first-round picks in there. And they're starting to play that way. Really a physical group, and they finish. You'll see them make blocks downfield. And it just feels like they're having some confidence, especially when they have a runner like they do behind him that's leading the league in rushing.
He's a real deal too, isn't he?
He really is. He strains a defense, in many ways. He can make people miss, he can attack the edges, but he can run inside and very powerful.
Let's get social real quick before we get out of here. At Damian Moody Smith, how do you make it an advantage to your team playing in London? How do you make that a home field advantage?
Well, I think as we grown and our roster has been where guys have been over here, and this is their second year been here, like a guy like Denard Robinson. All right, I already know I have experience. Guy like Cecil Shorts. So I think the more times we come over here and experience what we're doing and have a routine, and you can get back to work and on a Wednesday and have good preparation, I think that's a big part of it.
A couple other quick ones here. At Kyle Turr, how does this team get over the hump and now get some W's? I know you're not a wins-loss guy, but you talked about finishing a lot today.
Well, no. I mean, obviously winning is important. We just believe in how we go about getting that W is really what we want to focus on. And so that's where we're at right now. I think that, we've seen great effort. We've seen great spirit. We've seen guys make plays. To come back from 19-3 and make it 26-23, it tells you something about a team. Mm-hmm. But at that point in time, we had three costly errors. An interception, a long run, and a kick that went out of bounds, all three phases. And I think that's the part that these self-inflicted wounds are the ones that we have to take care of. And those things popped up at the end of the game, and that's just really, keep focused throughout. And I think when we can put together a complete game like that, then those things will come.
Gus, we really appreciate your time here at the Grove, man. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you so much.
At some point, next year, this year, us three on a double-decker bus. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it live on the bus next year. How about that?
Sounds great.
Have a great one. Gus Bradley,
thank you.
Jaguars head coach, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Download the official Jaguars app for the latest news, videos, photos, and more. During the games, receive special offers, live news, and scoring updates. The Jaguars app available in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store right now. And our thanks to Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley joining us on a Wednesday night here at the Grove in Chandler's Cross, England. JP Shadrick, John Osier with senior correspondent Brian Sexton.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Lots.
You've been running all over the place.
Well, yeah, I'm never one to sit still. I like to keep moving and go see as much as I can. I was down in downtown London yesterday, which was, I'm a history buff, so yeah. I enjoyed that. But I was with Mercedes and Sinderic, and we had a sensational time. Today I've been all over this place, by the way, which is full of history also.
This is, a couple hundred acres of land out here and a golf course.
Queens used to come out here for...
Yeah, Queen Victoria used to weekend here,
Great place.
Did Queens shape the giraffe out by the practice field?
Probably not.
There's some bizarre stuff on this.
Oh, they have some cool sculpture.
Have you seen the square tree out back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice out there. It's a nice facility, and wouldn't be shocked to see this team here at some point again. They always host NFL teams during these international series games, and we're finding out why for sure. This is the Remembrance Week. Remembrance Sunday is this Sunday. It's always the second Sunday of November in the United Kingdom to remember all the lives lost in World War I and throughout the years here in England. This is the equivalent of Memorial Day. But you guys were down in town and saw all the poppies around the Tower of London, which is kind of the symbol of that.
And people can see the photo of that on the site in the story that was posted earlier today. It's like there are 888,246, which represent each of the lives lost during World War I.
Yes.
And when you go stand there by the wall at the moat, you just see the wave of red. I mean, it's overwhelming. I stood there with Sinderic, who was eager to learn everything he could about that, and with Mercedes, who was interacting with so many different people. It really was a breathtaking moment because, as much as we talk about World War I and II and all the sacrifices for freedom, and Normandy's not far away, these people lived it. I mean, it was in their backyard. And so you couldn't help but feel the history as you stood there in front of this tower and talked to the people about it?
It's pretty cool to see. I had a chance to go to Headley Court, the rehab center for the armed forces, with the running backs yesterday. Same kind of feel. I mean, on this kind of week, those guys go through so much, and they're trying to get back and finally get back to life, and the running backs loved it for sure.
Yeah, I know that in particular, the connection that the Jaguars have worked so hard to forge with the military in the United States came bleeding through yesterday, through Mercedes and through Senderic. And it's very important to them when they're home, and now it's very important to them when they're here, and they couldn't wait to put a poppy on.
John, you were over at the Play 60 event the other day at Watford School, right?
Yeah, and it was more about getting the players with the kids. There wasn't as much history involved with that one. But it was a cool event, and you know, I don't know that you're really seeing kids at that age grasp what's going on that much. Even some of the players, they don't really know who we are. But you do get a feel from talking to people that in this second year, there's a little bit more of an awareness about the Jaguars, and Gus has talked about it. And over time, there's a little bit more awareness and knowledge of really what the NFL is all about.
Well, you know, I know a couple of times when we were down there with the crowds around the Tower of London, and some of the PR folks were saying, these are Jaguars. They're here for the game, and people knew the game, right? Oh, yeah, of course, look how big they are. So it was interesting to just see the dynamic, and you can feel there's a little bit more of it. Mm-hmm. Certainly not a groundswell yet, but the work that they have done to put the Jaguars out in the community has certainly helped with the awareness here in Jacksonville.
This is the third International Series game this year. I haven't heard an announcement of future, if they're going to expand that. You know, there's the rumor that it could be more games in the next coming years or so, but we haven't heard anything like that. But having three games here, just the feel of it around town when you were downtown, I think that helps, right?
I think it does, and I'll go back to my experience last year. For those of you who don't know, we get on a bus generally after the game, and we go right to the airport. Last year, my wife and I rode the tube subway back to the hotel in central London. And so we walked down the stairs, and it was a kaleidoscope of NFL jerseys, right? Mm-hmm. From all over Europe, people flocked to London to support the NFL. And there were jerseys and players and all kinds of stuff. And I think you're starting to see that the league has done a very good job over 30 years now, because this goes back some time, of cultivating fans. And you can feel that there is some excitement for what's going on at Wembley. They're eager to see the NFL, right? I don't know that they're eager yet necessarily to see the Jaguars and the Cowboys, but they're eager to see the NFL. And as the Jaguars get better, right, and come back here more often, in other words, every year, I think we're not far from that moment where people are going to be talking about, oh, the Jaguars are here.
Yeah, the event feel at Trafalgar Square last year and the game was, I'm not going to say it was the Super Bowl, but it had that sort of energy and that sort of an event feel.
Which is a big step up from NFL Europe, right, Brian?
Oh, I did NFL Europe in 2, 3, 4, and 5, and I can remember there being about 5,000 people in the stands in a game in Barcelona. And most of those were Steelers jerseys, by the way, because they had played a preseason game over there. The minute that FC Barcelona started playing, the stadium was empty. I mean, it was like, oh, what? Okay, we're going over here. And I talked to some people last night at dinner about this. And people remember NFL Europe as an exhibition league, a developmental league. And I think that's why people didn't go, except in places like Frankfurt and Berlin, where there were American military men who just wanted to see the game. They knew that that wasn't the real deal. And they do know now that Sunday's game, like the Falcons game and before them and the Raiders game before them, this is the real deal. And people are excited to see that. They are crazy about, as they say, sport here in the United Kingdom, and they know they got the real deal on Sunday.
A little bit of football before we get out of here. This Jaguars team trying to get back on track after the loss in Cincinnati, but so close again. They were right there in the game in the fourth quarter, guys, and just kind of let it slip away again. But you're right there in the fourth quarter, and that's certainly improvement from a year ago coming along.
Well, and you guys, you touched on it with Gus and with one of your social, and that is that in the fourth quarter, John, JP, there were two moments, one for the offense and one for the defense. Two moments to win, right? On the defensive side, well, Blake had just given them a touchdown, and it was a three-point game. Mm-hmm. And special teams contributed there as well with kickoff out of bounds, 40-yard line, 60-yard touchdown. I mean, there's your opportunities right there, special teams and defense, to deliver a winning moment. And then Blake on the ensuing drive with the interception. He was so patient in the pocket. It was magnificent. And I thought, well, why can't you just be patient now? Play on second down. The reality of it is there were two moments to win, maybe three if you count the kickoff out of bounds, and they didn't. Well, okay, so when do we see those moments? When the game's on the line. Is it this week? Is it next? You get the sense it's coming, but for a young team, they don't quite get it yet.
You sort of have to learn through it. And I think we were talking, Brian, you know, This time last year, we were sitting in London, and they hadn't come close to anything.
Nothing.
And it was, when is this team going to get close in the fourth quarter? Now it's a stretch since Bortles got in the lineup, and that's why he's in the game, because they've been closer, they've been competitive. Now all of a sudden, it's a stretch where it's six or seven games where it's, why can't we finish? Why can't we get over the hump? One step, two steps, next step.
Maybe Sunday.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the moment.
Maybe.
London seemed to be the turning point for this team last year, London in the bye week.
Why not?
Go beat the Cowboys on Sunday and see how the schedule plays out.
Why not?
Let's finish with that. I think that's a good way to close it out tonight from Chandler's Cross, England at the Grove Hotel. This has been Jaguars.com Live. Our thanks to head coach Gus Bradley. What a nice moment there for him to come join us on the show tonight. We appreciate his time. For Brian Sexton, John Osier, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for tonight on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.